You are a good psychiatrist.
Thank you.
Something I can't really lay claim to after today. How could I have so misjudged that man?
Well, he's undeniably charming, for one thing, and he can be lucid for long stretches of time.
Yes, but you weren't fooled. Somehow you picked up on some tiny, tiny clue that I missed. You remember what it was?
Yes. Midway through our interview, he took off his trousers and tried to put them on the cat.
And that's from Frasier. So sometimes you pick up tiny clues from the people around you, and sometimes they're right in your face. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and the show's The Rational Basis of Happiness. It's great to be back with you. My number's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's DRKENNER, 1-877-DR-KENNER. My website's drkenner.com. And right now we're turning to the phones and welcoming Jennifer. Jennifer, you have a problem with your son?
Yes.
Yeah,
he is 9 years old, and in the summertime, he was playing with a friend, and the little sister, who was just being potty trained, and she pulled her pants down, and he touched her. The father came over and explained what happened, and, you know, we kind of chalked it up as curiosity. He was in trouble and talked to you about private parts, as I have many times.
Okay, when you say trouble, what actually happened? If I were him,
we gave him consequences, and we took away things like his bike, and he was grounded. You couldn't play with friends, that type of thing.
And how long was he grounded for?
For 1 week.
Okay. And then tell me what else? What happened next?
Well, when he got in trouble, the thing that really troubled us and made us concerned is he said, you know, I wish I was dead. I'm a bad boy, you know, why don't you put a knife in my heart? And right away, we're like, no, that's not what we, I'm not sure where it came from, but like with talking to his pediatrician, he had said sometimes kids do that to divert the attention to something else, because immediately, I am a divorced parent, and my husband and I, his stepdad, we were talking to him, and of course, we spoke to his father about it. So I don't know where that came from. So we thought the problem was handled. Well, on Monday, I got somebody rang my doorbell, and it was a father of a little boy. And he said that Zach and his son were playing with his little sister and touched her private part.
Okay, what's the age difference?
She's 4.
She's 4, and he's now 9.
He's 9.
Okay.
And when I asked him about it, he said it wasn't through it was through her clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'm very concerned. Is this going to be a reoccurring problem? Is this more than curiosity? Did I not handle the first situation better?
I would say you can't go back in time. I would say who's that in the background?
Oh, I have 2 other little ones.
Oh, you are busy then.
Yes, I am.
Girls, boys?
Pardon?
You have a little girl or a boy?
Yes, I have a little girl. Oh. She is 15 months.
So are you concerned about that too?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, it's crossing my mind. I did the whole went to the bookstore last night and read through everything, went online, looked through different questions and, just really... I'm really concerned. Is this something I should have him seek therapy for, or is this I'm making a big deal out of something?
Yeah, here's what I like to do in these situations, especially when it's just once or twice. It's that kids experiment. If he had touched the little girl's elbow, nobody would have made a fuss, right? If he saw that her elbow was a different shape than his and he touched it, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But because it happens to be the private parts, and because adults have a much bigger context than young kids, than an 8-year-old or than a 5-year-old, our context is, oh my God, sexual molestation. You know, you're going to have a pervert on your hand. Or
that's what I'm worried about.
You start catastrophizing. But then what happens is the parents themselves become the problem, because when they catastrophize, they make the issue small or big in the child's mind?
Right.
They make it huge in the child's mind, and the child feels an enormous sense of guilt that's totally out of proportion to the one incident, to like touching the elbow. And so if at the time the consequences had just been, you know, everybody's got their own body and that belongs to them. And you, when you get to the private parts, honey, you can touch your own private parts in private in your bedroom or in the tub. You know, you those are yours. You can't touch anybody else's. You know, when you get older, we'll talk about other issues. But you know, because sex can be very nice, but not at your age. You know, if you had a talk like that and you never took away the bike, you never grounded him, it wouldn't have grown his focus on it.
Okay, so how do you think I should handle this situation?
I would just say, if he's 9 years old, if he were about 10 or 11, I would tell you to get the books by Peter Maley. Okay. Where did I, because he be, when, what, pardon?
Is it called What's Going On Down There?
He may have a new book. I know the books that I used with young kids who were actually sexually abused, and I tried to help them put things in proportion, were What's Happening to Me and Where Did I Come From, when they start asking, you know,
right,
how a baby's made. And he's at the precipice, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, you get into the preteen years, and kids are smarter nowadays than in the past. They could probably tell us
right,
the facts of life. I would try to think of your husband's history of what's called kiddie play. It's not considered sexual perversions or anything. It's just called kiddie play.
Okay.
Now the problem, you know, you get the age differences. If you had a 5 and a 7 year old, you know, in the tub touching each other's parts, maybe it was a little girl and a little boy being bathed together.
Right.
You know, if a parent doesn't make a big deal of it, it's just a natural fact of life that we have different body parts, and kids are naturally curious. We want them to be curious.
Okay, yeah.
So you could not have a pedophile or something. You might be having a future doctor on your hand who's interested in body parts.
Right.
So
and
I would...
You've never been a Disney World kid, I like to say. Like,
yeah.
You've never been the kid that accepts the stories. He always has been a fact kid. Like, no, Mom, that's not true. You know,
he wants to know the facts.
Hold.
Well, give him the biology then. And in your mind, instead of imagining, oh, my God, what about future pedophile, think future doctor.
Right.
Think future biologist or something, because I think then you won't have that knee-jerk reaction of horror, and you won't be constantly monitoring him. And you can give him the facts, but then give him a feeling, too, that he's not bad, but he can be trusted. When he said, I wish I was dead, that's how badly it hurt him. You know, if I did something that I didn't know was wrong, and someone yells at me, like, why did you open that door? You know nobody's supposed to go into that room.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my God, I did something horrible. That's called an unearned guilt. I didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't have all the facts.
Right.
And so that real strong sense of people can just descend on me and give me an arbitrary guilt is powerful. If he links it to touching young kids, then you want to break that connection in his mind by just lessening it, just saying, you know, I wish I hadn't yelled at you when you were younger.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, it's, you're learning about biology. You just really need to know that everybody's body parts are private.
Okay.
And you can also see if there are any stories that he would tell you. Maybe there's something going on at school. You know, maybe somebody's touched him, you know.
When he was little, like 4 years old, him and his cousin were touching each
okay,
other.
I would call it kiddie play in your own mind.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the age difference, but we're right at the end of time, Jennifer. So thank you so much for your call, and I hope that helps. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
One skill necessary for effective communication between romantic partners, and anyone for that matter, is to listen attentively and politely with full focus for clear understanding. If you're tired or distracted, let your partner know that this isn't the best time to discuss anything important. Such consideration sends the message that you value your partner. However, sometimes you need to listen even when you're tired, because your partner may be in great need at that moment. Give suggestions only if it is clear that your partner wants them. Often your partner simply wants to feel understood.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.